Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
No!
Can't remember my roommate's name, but we couldn't get into our room, and two exotic dancers came down the hallway and said, "Here you go, let us give you a hand with that."
How about that?
I was 16. It was like, whoa. Mandy at Edmonton has checked in, by the way. She says, flashback. I did find glitter around an ex's house all the way into the bedroom. Now you know. No charge.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Happy Friday, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the RP Show. Big day, Flame Tech Football Friday. You Gridiron fans have been waiting for this all week long, and a special treat for you. Hall of Fame Rough Riders broadcaster John Frenzy joins us here in the bunker. How you doing, Frenzy?
I'm doing great, Rod. Just great. Looking forward to this playoff discussion, in the NFL. Going to be very, very interesting. Some ridiculous situations there, as you know.
I was going to ask you what's got you so fired up, and that's what it is, hey? The NFL playoffs?
Yep.
And other things. Well, I see the CFL folks have already checked in today, the CFL fans. They want to talk three-down football. We got four-down football. And unfortunately, as you know, the hockey season's firing up next week, but I think we covered that sufficiently all week long. Yeah. Fridays are reserved for the Gridiron, and look at this guest list today. John Frenzy, we mentioned, coming up later on in hour one, Tory Gurley, our NFL insider. We've got all the NFL news to talk about in six playoff games this weekend, and then to get to the nitty-grit in the bottom of the CFL story, Justin Dunk will join us from 3downnation.com in hour two. Again, we're brought to you by Flame Tech. Say hey, Jason Fichter watching from the Rider Prider fan page, the aforementioned Mandy from Edmonton. We got the Ottawa people checking in. So let's go, Jordan, please, with the Quick Six Show topics, please. Thank you. They're actually not all football. There is some hockey in here. But number one, contract wars, if you will, or stalemates in Toronto and Ottawa. Lynch, you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? Mind you, we did talk about this in the car ride on the way up. I was on TSN 1290 in Winnipeg this morning, and Troy Westwood said, "What do you think about the contract stalemates with the quarterbacks in Toronto and Ottawa?" I said, "Troy, whatever are you talking about? Where did you get this information?" He said, 3downnation.com. The Argos are trying to cut Matt Nichols' contract by 40%, and in Ottawa, they're trying to give Nick Arbuckle a significant reduction. I don't know how much. This all came from Farhan Lalji, but here's my take on that, Frenzy. They're trying to do that to just about everybody.
Yep.
Okay, so the news of the extensions and this guy's coming back and that guy's coming back is the news the CFL wants you to hear, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong that they're picking and choosing with what news they announce themselves, but it's not the only news that's going on. So for that report from Farhan, by the way, actually, I mean, Three Down printed it, but Farhan reported it, that Matt Nichols and Nick Arbuckle are being somewhat forced to take pay cuts. What do you think when you hear that?
40% is pretty drastic.
Yeah.
I didn't think Matt Nichols was that good a football player. Be like, honest with you, he's not a bad quarterback, but I don't think he's an elite quarterback. And now they're trying to make him take a cutback. I guess I'm reading between the lines, he's getting $500,000, and they want him to go back to $300,000 because they're fanatic.
Oh, you're just guessing, though.
Well, that's right. But you know how fanatic they are about this $300,000 quarterback. He's not that bad a quarterback. He's not that good a quarterback. I've seen him make some big plays. I've seen him make some terrible plays. But he can't run that well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And Arbuckle, yeah, he didn't look good. He didn't look bad last year. But already they want to make a cut. He got a cut from a nice raise in Calgary. Comes to Ottawa, and they want to cut his salary by 30%. It won't make him happy, but I think he'll take it because he doesn't really have anywhere else to go. And I guess Nichols doesn't either.
No, they don't. And actually, it's a tremendous article at 3downnation.com outlining, you know, if there are more quarterbacks than there are teams, who does that favor? It favors the teams. The article says that the CFL teams have all the leverage here and that Jeremiah Masoli's probably going to be up for auction here soon. Maybe, I mean, so these are interesting times in the CFL, but it brings into point two, and it's attendance issues in at least Manitoba and Alberta. The point of that is the premier of Manitoba, Brian Pallister, saying yesterday they don't expect more than 30% of Manitobans to be vaccinated by the end of June. 30%. You saw the report earlier in the week from the province of Alberta saying they don't expect to get to phase three vaccinations until Labor Day at least. So what that tells you is we're not playing at full capacity in stadiums potentially at all in 2021. So if you go back to these pay cuts that are being forced on veteran players, the fans are saying, where's the money coming from? Are they even going to be playing at all? And that is the bigger picture of this whole situation with the CFL. Now, Frenzy and I, one of these days I'll stop threatening to do it and just do it. And that's put a GoPro cam on my rearview mirror so that it'll film you and I.
That's what it should be. That'd
yeah,
be great.
Having these discussions because Lynch came up with this. And I'll do my best Lynch imitation. You said, a wealthy company must be financing the CFL. Somebody must be. Because if they're going to play and they can't have fans, somebody's got to be paying for this. Do I have that right?
Right on. And we speculated one time, didn't we, who it was, but we don't know if we're right or not. I don't think we are. But I think that's what's going on. It has to be. Because the Riders are announcing the signing of players almost every day, which I think is great. The fans love it. The ones I talk to just love it. They hear what's going on with the team. They like the signings to date. It's been the good players. So, hey, everybody's happy in Saskatchewan. The other cities, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they've got to get this straightened out, but I really believe if they've gone this far, they have to have some additional source of financing, not the government, some other big company, Canadian Tire. I don't know. I can't speculate who it is because it's an awful lot of money. I mean, it's in the millions of dollars, big millions of dollars, folks. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I like the attitude. I think, you're asking me what I'm betting on. I told Rod this in the car as we were getting out. I'm betting we have a league that starts on Labor Day weekend. 10-game schedule starting on the Labor Day weekend. Can we live with that? Yeah, we can. Some of the games will be in, the playoff games will be in December. Right. And the Grey Cup may be at time, say, at Christmas time. That'd be great. Santa Claus come with the Grey Cup.
I love it. Well, and that's what they're saying in Hamilton, that they plan to play and with fans. That's from, you know, their owner, Bob Young, who I've got a ton of respect for. I've had a lot of one-on-one chats with Bob. But I'll tell you what, for him to boldly proclaim in the fall that they'll be playing the Grey Cup in front of fans in Hamilton in 2021 was just that.
And he signed all their
very
coaches.
Very bold.
They've signed all their coaches.
Yeah.
They're going ahead. You love it.
Lynch is on fire today. Have you noticed, y'all?
And Scott Mitchell, by the way, the general manager of the Ticats, and Bob Young, the owner, are saying they're going to play. So they must have some financing in mind. Mind you, Bob Young has got enough money himself to carry that team.
Well, probably.
He's the one guy that can.
Now, I have to continue. Here's the thing with John Lynch. He's like Edgerrin James. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. So I'd like to get to some of the comments from our viewers. Jeff Stamps says, right now the teams are holding all the cards, but within 6 months, maybe the quarterbacks will be holding all their cards. Larry Dye in Medicine Hat says, the CFL has to have an alternative plan for a shortened season with no fans. August to Thanksgiving. That's from Larry in Medicine Hat. Dougal Cameron, a Stampeders fan, another one who watches this show in Cowtown, says, morning, boys. Good to be talking football on a Friday morning. It's good to have you here, Dougal. Fridays are reserved for football here on the RP show. And you talk about a private investor underwriting the cost of this. Nelson Hakowich, our VP of Sim Events here at the RP show, writing in and says, cue MLSE. I don't know if this is where MLSE fits into this. I don't know. I haven't made the calls per se, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll spend the weekend poking into a little bit more of this because Joe Lazito watching in Long Island, Lynch. You know him?
Yep, right.
Happy Friday. Happy Frenzy Friday. Get that GoPro going for sure, Roddy.
He's coming up here for Thanksgiving, aren't you, Joe? That's great.
Clark wants to put this in, too. From Norway, Trent is checking. The gang's all here today, everybody. Trent says, Norway calling. I still think it's a Green Bay, Kansas City Super Bowl in 2021. As for the first round, Cleveland over the Steelers is my pick for the weekend. For the CFL quarterbacks, is collusion happening here with the owners? Cody Fajardo was one of the exceptions, but what gives? Have a good weekend, everyone. I don't know. Three Down's been going down that road. Arash has called it outright collusion. So I don't know. I guess I'll start poking around, make some calls. This is just what I see. But I said to Lynch as we were pulling out of the Tim Hortons drive-thru this morning, Lynch, do you remember what I said? Very hard to give analysis on what's happening or where it's going when we are not in possession of all the facts.
Right. Hard to figure out, though. But the Riders have made the exception, I think, and the word exception, you heard it before, have made the exception for Cody, and they're going to continue to do that if he has another year like he had last year because they want to keep him here forever. And if they don't, oh, can you imagine how sad it'll be here next year? No.
It's sad enough now that we missed a season. So I guess this guy right here is a treasure, as you all know. And he said it. There must be somebody footing the bill for the CFL to play because they're all moving forward with these contracts, the ones that you're hearing from the teams, and then the ones that Three Down's reporting, that undercurrent of news that nobody else is reporting, that they're trying to cut salaries of big-name vets. And it's not just quarterbacks, by the way. I've heard Solomon Elamimian is facing a significant cut, and others, big-name vets on the Rough Riders. So,
and how do you take a cut like that? Think about yourself. You've had a great year, real good team. You finished first in the league in the Western Final. Should have won it. Yeah, you had a good year, and now they want to cut you back from the $400,000 you're making. You figure you deserve $600,000. They want to cut you back to two or three. It's hard to take psychologically. Psychologically means a lot.
Here's how they do it. One of the many times that I've been fired in my life, Rod. We're making a change in your department. Really? Who's in my department? You. Steve Donnelly says, why can't the CFL start as scheduled with limited attendance and then gradually allow more fans when able to do so? They can't do that because, as last we heard, they don't have a business model that will allow them to make money beyond ticket sales, at least enough to survive. That's why they can't start without fans as it stands now. Unless, as John Frenzy said, somebody has ride into the rescue to underwrite the cost of them playing.
The Riders would not have gone as far as they have to date announcing players if they weren't certain they could play at least a 10-game schedule this year. So I'm very confident there are some wealthy people in this area, Regina, and we know a couple, that are offering money, some financial help, and that's wonderful. I don't know if other cities have that luxury, like Saskatchewan have, at least 10 or 12 big-name players in town supporting the team. Montreal used to, but I don't think they do now. Toronto, do they have MLSE? I guess they do with MLSE. If they carry them, they're okay.
Yeah.
So if they get the right, they could do this in every
Hang
season,
on.
I guess.
Darren Bradley, Caesar, writes, he says, nah, the CFL is just getting ready for the season because the vaccine is supposed to open things up for us. Well, Caesar, you're a politician. I would assume you're on top of this. The Prime Minister of Canada and all the premiers jumped on a Zoom call last night to discuss what? The fact that the vaccine rollout hasn't happened as smoothly nor as fast as they would have liked, and the supplies of the vaccine have not come to Canada in the numbers that they would have liked. This is not going as smoothly as the Prime Minister said it would. So the CFL has to plan to play, I think, vaccinations aside, or they're not playing. That's the point. Now, yes, you want to go by what the commissioner said at Grey Cup Unite Week, and that was, oh, there's great news with the vaccinations coming out, and that's why we'll play in 2021. Well, Randy's a smart guy. He couldn't have believed what he was saying. He was just trying to be positive, and he said that. Well, Todd Pinckney says, RP show, do we have a defibrillator on site? Frenzy's going to Indy 500 fast. Lynch is getting fired up. John Lynch's appearances, by the way, brought to you by Wheaton Kia every Friday. This is the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL. I just want to move on for a second to the NFL. Three games Saturday, three games Sunday, and some folks are writing in about predictions and so forth. We'll spend a little more time on that. Lynch is pulling it. Put the camera on him for a sec. Do that again, Lynch. He's got his list. What is that? The odds? What is that?
No. It's each game.
It's your cheat sheet.
Yep. NFC, AFC.
Okay, well, just hang on. Somebody was asking about the Bears. Tame Welker writes in and says, man, I love this show. Thank you, Tame. So do we. Here's the line, okay, the point spread. Going in order of game. Saturday, Colts-Bills. Bills favored by 6. L.A. Rams at Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks favored by 3.5. Tampa at Washington Saturday night. Bucks favored by 8. And then on Sunday, Baltimore at Tennessee. The Ravens are favored by 3.5 on the road. Bears at Saints. Saints favored by 9.5. And Cleveland at Pittsburgh. I'll remind you, the Browns haven't practiced once all week. You know that, right? You've been watching this on NFL Network. They haven't practiced one time all week.
That is so sad. That is so sad.
The Steelers are favored by only 6 against a team that hasn't practiced all week and are going to be missing their head coach. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it's just incredible. But they made the playoffs this year. Cleveland can be happy. The first time in 18 years they made the playoffs. Be happy. You can't win it all. You're getting paid back, I guess, now. I don't know. It's cruel. It's cruel.
It's cruel. Well, for the Bears, no, they don't have a chance in New Orleans. Saints are favored by 9.5. But the Bears made the playoffs. The Bears aren't who we thought they were.
No, they aren't.
And
they're playing the New Orleans
Saints. That means Matt Nagy keeps his job. That means Henry Burris keeps his job. The season's already win for the Bears. Kevin Dyko, the guy who gave us all these beautiful championship rings at the front of the desk, he writes in, he says, Frenzy's fired up like Rowdy Roddy Piper used to be and the Piper's Pit back in the old WWF days. Well, it's funny you say that, Kevin, because just as soon as they all think they got the answers, I change the questions. Point 4, Jacob Markstrom allows 4 goals in the Flames red and white game last night. Markstrom allowed 4. But the Flames still won, didn't they? It's a damn practice, okay? We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Everybody's upset Markstrom allowed 4. Come off it. Maybe you should be happy that your shooters were so good. Very odd situation. Point 5 in Edmonton. Jesse Puljujärvi, you're an Oilers fan or are you a Flyers fan? Have you decided?
I'm an Oilers fan.
Okay. You see Puljujärvi, they're not allowing him to wear number 98. Can somebody in Edmonton straighten this out for me? They're not allowing Puljujärvi to wear 98 because Wayne wore 99. So now they've put him into 13. He wore 98 the last time he was in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So what am I missing?
I don't know.
And by the way, do you think anybody should be able to wear a number close to Gretzky's 99?
Of course they should. Come on, let's get real, for God's sake.
I agree. Puljujärvi, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Puljujärvi looked pretty good last year at times, and he comes back now. He's supposed to have been a great prospect 2 years ago. I hope he can do it. They're giving him every opportunity. But let's go back to this.
We will. Well, hang on, because we're going to have to break. And is Tori ready? He is. Okay. Well, and point 6, I wanted to tell some Steve Sarkisian stories. We don't have time for it now, but we will later. My first year with the Riders was his last. I spent a lot of time around Steve Sarkisian, both at the stadium and away from the stadium. And now he's the head coach of the Texas Longhorns. But he's got one more game to go, and that's the Natty on Monday night. So we'll talk about that a little later. But when we come back, Tori Gurley, okay?
Yep.
Get your NFL on.
Yep.
Our NFL Insider, and that's also brought to you by Wheaton Kia. We'll be right back. It is a Flame Tech Football Friday. Flame Tech is your leader in combustion services. You're watching now on YouTube Live, Facebook, and Twitter, Game Plus TV. And for Sud's Full Service Car Wash, listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. It is a Flame Tech Football Friday. We got so much football to run through. John Ohm in Winnipeg has just written in with the details of the Steve Sarkisian Longhorns contract. $5.2 million a year in year one as the head coach.
Wow.
And you wonder why guys want to get to the NCAA. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Don McNeil's watching in Central Ontario. He says, please ask Tori about Deshaun Watson. So we will. That's from the lone Houston Texans fan that I know in all of Canada. Let's go to Tori now, former Packers and Browns wideout, Argo 2. How you doing, Tori? Happy playoffs, my man.
Yes, happy playoffs to you guys.
It's exciting, isn't it? It's another season, and you played some big-time playoff games with the Green Bay Packers. How? Let's start there. How does this change from the regular season to what we're going to see here moving forward?
I was just on the phone yesterday with Dante Moncrief. Moncrief from the Saskatchewan is with the Rams now. And Derek Moncrief, I'm sorry about that. And it was amazing to talk to him and just see how fired up he was. And it just, the only thing I could do is reminisce about how everything changed during playoff time, where guys were more locked in, the intensity of practice, meetings. Just the way you even talk to each other, like it's the ultimate focus because you know it's win or go home. And with the guys in Green Bay, they're on a bye week, so it's even more emphasis on them to have excellent walkthroughs and for them to prepare their minds and their body for the game the following week. But for the guys that's getting ready to play tomorrow and Sunday, those guys are just zeroed in on the task at hand.
By the way, Lynch has a list of questions for you, and our viewers do too. But, Tori, this is the one thing I hate about this time of year. The games are the prize, but there's so much going on with the non-playoff teams, right? The crappy teams are interviewing for coaches and GM jobs. And now, what is the deal with Deshaun Watson? I saw this hit late yesterday afternoon that they're talking about a landing spot for the prize quarterback of the Houston Texans. What's the backstory here?
It's one of those situations where, you know, they had problems with the owner, and then when he passed away, it was passed down to his son, and the son is he's just like his father when it means to running a football team. And you've had a lot of key players. You had DeAndre Hopkins, he's gone. You have Jadeveon Clowney, number one overall pick, he's gone. The only person that might be left standing is J.J. Watt, and that's just because he's a huge pillar in the community of Houston. But it wouldn't shock me to see Deshaun Watson end up in another team because Houston is just bad, no matter how you cut it, from offense, defense, and special team standpoint. So with them rewarding Deshaun with this contract extension of 100-plus million, I'm willing to bet there are a lot of NFL teams that would love to have him while Houston decides to rebuild and do things totally different there.
Oh, my God. Deshaun's only been there for a couple of years, though. That's what I don't understand. If you're a Houston Texans football fan, this is crisis time, Tori.
Yeah, well, he's been there 4 years, and it's unfortunate about football because it's all about egos. You and I both know that from, you know, firsthand experience, and if the guy at the top wants to run his team a certain way, there is nothing players can do. That's why Bill Belichick and Tom Brady end up parting ways, because Tom wanted more players and Bill wanted to do things his way. And ultimately, Bill was able to, you know, allow Tom to go play with another team, and that's sports and that's football. We've even seen Peyton Manning. You know, this guy was cut from the Indianapolis Colts. So it happens every year as part of the profession. It's unlike basketball where LeBron James could really be the GM and a player. But in football, you know, you have to just play your part, and that's just being a player.
Okay, what happens to the New England Patriots now? Bill Belichick going to come back, you think? Cam Newton, the quarterback. They goofed. They should have somehow hung on to Tom Brady. You can't get rid of your stars, and you've agreed with me over and over in that particular perception I have.
Yeah, that's part of Bill Belichick. You know, that's what he wants to do. He never gets close to any players. Their motto up there is, I'd rather cut you a year early than a year late. And it shows. And, you know, even one of my closest friends, you know, my Stephon Gilmore, that guy is he's out there on, you know, was being waved around for with the trading period. So that's just how they do things in New England. You know, it's unfortunate.
Bill Belichick. He's not done talking, John. Let him finish, please. Go ahead, Tori. Continue.
It's unfortunate the way they do things there, but it's proven. He doesn't believe in paying top dollar for players, and that's just the New England way. So even though we can sit here and say Tom Brady would be a great fit in New England, but I don't think he would have any success up there because the team just wasn't that good. You know, you had 9 guys who opted out on defense, and you've also had a bunch of guys on offense that we really couldn't name outside of Julian Edelman. So Tom Brady saw the writing on the wall, and that's why he was able to go to Tampa and be in the situation he's in now. But I would never doubt Bill Belichick. That guy, he knows what he's doing.
Well, Bill Belichick apparently told Mr. Kraft, the owner, that the reason for the success was him coaching Brady, and that he could find him another quarterback and do just as well. And he got him Cam Newton, and he wound up last. So the guy who's the hero there is Brady, the way I see it.
Well, we've covered that. You wanted to talk about the games, didn't you, John?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the games. I'm seeing Indianapolis at Buffalo. I'm picking Buffalo just like you are. L.A. Rams at Seattle. I'm seeing Seattle. And Tampa Bay at Washington, which is crazy there, right? Washington hosts that game. They're 7-9. Tampa Bay comes in. They're 11-5. But that's the way it is in the National Football League. The other ones, I'm seeing on Sunday, Tennessee and Baltimore. Baltimore wins that one. New Orleans over Chicago and Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Pretty well, the same way you said.
I'm different with you with the Bills and Colts game. And even though I'm a former Bills player, I just think this is the ultimate letdown right here. I've been warning you guys for the past few weeks. I just think I'm not sold on Josh Allen, and I'm not sold on the Buffalo Bills defense. I love what they do offensively, but I just think in a moment of this magnitude, he's never been in this situation before. And then when he did play in a playoff game, he looked extremely bad. And I still see the same player. As an analyst, I have to just call it the way I see it. You know, I have no emotional strings attached to Buffalo. It's just the film and what I watch on tape. I don't think this guy's ready for prime time yet. I think he's a year away. They did extremely well, but defensively, they can't get guys on the ground, and offensively, I think Josh Allen is going to be the reason why they lose to the Colts tomorrow.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. The Rams in Seattle, you're going with Seattle too, eh?
I like Seattle in this spot, but it just depends on if Jared Goff can come back. So that's something that's up in the air. He had thumb surgery. From what I hear, the guy he took reps in practice, and we'll see. So, but I will lean towards Seattle in that game.
I got to ask you about Cleveland, Pittsburgh, your old team, the Browns. It's so Cleveland, isn't it, that they haven't been able to practice all week long? The point spread's only 6 for the Steelers. I got to think that's going to swell before kickoff Sunday, Torrey. Your take on what your old team's going through right now?
Yeah, I think the fat lady is singing. Unfortunately, with Kevin, with Coach, having COVID, it hurts. You know, no matter how you cut it, he's trying to virtually do things, and to be a football coach and to win games, you got to be there at practice. And they're really going to miss him on the sideline. He's been the very most consistent person in Cleveland when it came to attitude and just making sure he kept the guys on track. And I don't see anyone behind him that can fill in his role. So we watched it last week in the semifinal game in the college playoff when Clemson didn't have their offensive coordinator and how they looked on offense. So imagine playing a football game without your head coach. So it should be a no-brainer. Pittsburgh should win that game running away.
Frenzy, what else you got?
Well, I just think about this crazy situation there. Washington hosting a playoff game with a 7-9 record and Tampa Bay 11-5 coming in there. I don't think there's any way that Washington can win that game, do you? I think it's Tampa all the way, no matter what.
Yeah, speaking from a betting standpoint, you have a lot of people that love Washington in this spot because they have a defense that can get after Tom Brady. And that's something that Tom Brady, if you look at any loss he's sustained over his career, has always been guys that can get after him. And when you have Chase Young coming off the edge, as well as all the other defenders for Washington, and those guys were first-round draft picks. They used all their draft capital on their defensive line and linebackers. So if you want to beat Tom Brady, you got to get him on the ground. And that's how you rattle him. I've watched it happen many times before. We can talk about the New York Football Giants when they had Michael Strahan and Chris Canty and OC, all those players. They got after Tom Brady. If we go back and look at the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, you had defensive ends that got pressure on Brady. When you look at any of the teams that beat him, the Tennessee Titans or who else beat Tom Brady in years past, it's always been pass rush. So that's the only way you can beat him.
Well, the Eagles, of course, in the Super Bowl. But I'll say this. The Dallas Cowboys are out of the playoffs, so the door is wide open for an NFC champion. How about that, Lynch?
How about that?
Are the Buccaneers serious contenders? Because Bruce Arians said yesterday, if we don't win it all, this season's a failure. Do they got a chance?
No, I think Green Bay wins this. If the weather continues to stay the way it is up there in Wisconsin, everything has to go through there. And despite Tom Brady being able to play in the element, if you look at the other 52 guys, they're really – they play in a division where it's warm weather in the NFC South, where you play the New Orleans Saints, where you play the Tampa Bay – well, you play in Tampa, you play the Carolina Panthers, you play the Atlanta Falcons. So those guys are not used to being in that element, and it's just a different type of cold in January and at Lambeau Field. I mean, that's ultimate home field advantage. And I just see the Packers. I see Packers and Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year.
Torrey, are we doing Torrey's tips for Wheat and Kia here? Oh, we're not?
No, okay. Sir. Yeah, okay, cool. Fantasy is over with.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, so in the time that we have left that we would have dedicated to that, what is your outlook here for the playoffs in terms of Access TV? I mean, we all miss going into Vegas here during the year. Are you doing some work with them? Is your FanDuel partnership continuing through the playoffs or what? What's your schedule here for the next several weekends leading up to the Super Bowl?
Right now, I'm continuing to be on the Rod Peterson Show, and also I'm just going to be an analyst and watch the game. You know, I'm so excited about watching playoff football because it means that much. So I just sit down here and be able to break all the film down and take what these guys give me. But I'm super excited. I truly think this is going to be a quarterback-driven playoff, especially with no real home field advantage, unless you call it with the Green Bay Packers playing in that element. So look out for the veteran quarterbacks to make huge splashes in this year's playoffs.
From Joe in Long Island, big Bills fan. He says, Torrey's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, but I'm puzzled that he still sees the Josh Allen of previous seasons. Most consider him a candidate for MVP. What is it, Torrey, that you see specifically?
His decision-making in the pocket. There are times when Josh drops back and he gets happy feet, and he's blessed with the ability to elude pass rushers and extend plays. But with him doing that, I've seen him make some ill-advised throws, and it's going to come back to bite you in meaningful football games. Right now, you're getting away with it in a regular season because they're getting up on teams, and you know, you're kind of playing with house money. But now, when you have to go out and play against a team that really can beat you, in the Indianapolis Colts, the ingredients they have to winning the game is time management. What they're going to be able to do is run the football and limit the possessions of the Buffalo Bills. So now every possession Josh Allen has, he got to cash in, and I've seen him in his mind try to do too much, and that's where I think it's going to fall right into the Colts' hands. But the only thing that scared me about the Colts is Phillip Rivers. Like, he is a walking turnover machine. So if Phillip Rivers is just decent and not turn the ball over, that's why I can see the Colts beating the Buffalo Bills on Saturday.
Yeah, well, Rivers has been around 38, and let's not underestimate the fire burning in his belly that the Chargers showed him the door, right? So, yeah, these are going to be some tremendous football games. Torrey, thank you, sir. As always, enjoy the games. We'll chat next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
It'll be great, Torrey.
Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, TGurley81. Torrey Gurley's appearance is brought to you by Wheat and Kia. You can find them in North Albert, corner of Albert and Avonhurst. We'll be back with a sports update. Flame Tech Football Friday continues. And by the way, Pat in Saskatoon says, what's Torrey's thoughts on the CFL? And who will be that person to come up big and give them the money? It was Lynch who sniffed it out. He says somebody's going to foot the bill for the CFL to play this year because they're not going to have crowds. We weren't going to put that to Torrey because that's not where his mind is. But we'll talk about it when we come right back. You're watching on now YouTube Live, Twitter and Facebook as well, Game Plus TV, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. This will be like speaking another language to Lynch, but I want to tell you folks something funny. Last night we started trying to watch Yellowstone. Have you heard about that, John?
Yeah, I sure have.
You have?
Looks good.
Do you watch on Amazon Prime?
Sometimes, yep.
You do?
Yep.
Wow!
once in a while.
Well, last night I'm going from our upstairs bedroom to the living room to our kitchen television, trying to get Yellowstone on Amazon Prime. And I just started fiddling around with the TV in our main room. For instance, last Saturday, my brother was there. We were watching the World Juniors, whatever game, or quarterfinal. He's like, is this a smart TV? I said, I don't know. I've only watched TV on it. But last night I discovered DAZN, YouTube, all these different apps, Amazon Prime. Lynch was ahead of me on this. So all of a sudden I find YouTube and I click on the show and I'm like, Sydney, come have a look at this. We're live on YouTube. Well, we weren't live last night, but today we are. So I've logged in here and I'm chatting with the people on YouTube live, Frenzy.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Oh, man, that's incredible, for God's sake. Oh, man, that's unreal.
We got some major news coming down the pipe here just within the next couple weeks with regards to broadcast with the RP show in 2021. So stay tuned. Within the next couple weeks, you're not going to have to be waiting much longer, and it's really big news. Ricky Rivard is watching in Manitoba. Says, morning, guys. Hey, Ricky, welcome. You showed up just in time. I believe he's in Winnipeg. Sports update, a trip to Los Angeles proved to be just what the San Antonio Spurs needed to snap out of an early season slump. Two nights after beating the Clippers to snap a four-game slide, the Spurs picked up another win at Staples Center, this time defeating the Lakers 118-109. The Montreal Canadiens will be able to play home games despite the Quebec government's imposition of a curfew aimed at curbing COVID-19. Ontario, Alberta, and BC also have been given the green light for their NHL teams to play home games during the pandemic. Manitoba says it is confident the Jets can play home games, but hasn't made anything official. The NHL season opens on January 13th. Japanese star pitcher Tomoyuki Sugano has failed to agree to a contract with a major league team. The righty, who turned 31 in October, had been posted by the Yomiuri Giants of Japan's Central League in December. Why the hell am I reading this?
I don't know. Tell me what.
Justin Thomas birdied three of his last five holes for an 8-under 65 and a share of the lead with Harris English in the Century Tournament of Champions. Canada's Nick Taylor is just two shots back after firing a 67. Dustin Johnson opened with a 2-under 71. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room open today, Friday, for lunch right in the heart of the Dewdney Strip. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings, but I save it just for special occasions. Taylor Soley writes in, he says, hey, Rod, I say Rams by six. I don't agree with John Lynch. Go Rams.
Oh, Seattle's pretty tough, buddy. Taylor, you know Seattle's pretty tough in Seattle.
Well, it sounds like to me he's a Rams fan. And I don't, or I try anyways, not to bet on my teams because my emotions get in the way. Yeah. You understand that, right?
Certainly.
Like last week, I think Darren in our come on picks had the Cowboys to win at New York. And I'm like, I'm not even touching that. I'm not even touching it.
Yeah.
Because that's my team, and I have no idea how my team's going to fare. Now, if you always bet against your team, it's win-win. Because your team loses, but then you won the bet.
Yeah.
But the thing, Taylor, come on, take the blinders off. Take the blinders off. Seattle is a far better team.
And the Rams got a quarterback problem, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Hoff's had good a quarterback when he is healthy.
Rob Vanstone writes in and he says, the esteemed Rob Vanstone says, Broncos by ... Never
what?
Mind.
Broncos?
Exactly. He's joking, Frenzy. Oh, come on, Rob. How many Super Bowls you guys need? Metal Shingle Guy writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line regarding our CFL chat. He says, without the border open and vaccine out to 70% of the population, there will be no CFL. Why would they play this year with no fans? Last year they wouldn't. What's changed? And he goes on to say, I've got no Facebook, but the YouTube app is in my 4K TV. Nice! So he's watching live on his big screen TV, Metal Shingle Guy. How do you like that? How about that?
How about that, yeah.
Jim Wagner writes in, hello, RP Nation. Speaking of favorite things about the RP show, mine is just being here for shooting the breeze with the RP crew. The selection of guests is the cherry on top. But love me some Frenzy for sure. He is the Don Cherry of football, sitting to my right, your left. And Frenzy, let's just pat ourselves on the back for one more time. Let's Ricky ourselves, guys. What the guys said in BC, your buddies out in BC about the show, particularly Fridays. You want to tell the viewers?
Yeah, they love the show. They just can't live without it. They want to see better viewing, more viewing. But they
have viewing parties, you say.
They have viewing parties, right. They really enjoy it. They bet on it. It's just every game, every week.
I want to give a shout-out to my Uncle Ross in Kelowna, who told me he tapes the show every day on Game Plus Television, his cable carrier, his Telesoptic TV. He says, if you're talking hockey, I don't watch it. If you're talking football, I watch. So, Roscoe, clearly you're watching today. Thanks. And in the time we have left in this segment, which is a few minutes, William May writes in and he says, half the CFL teams play with half the stadium empty anyway, so nothing changes. You think that's an insult, but it's not. He's right on the money there.
I don't think it's that dramatic. Not half the empty.
But you get what he's saying.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
He's saying if we got to play to 50% capacity, shoot. Yeah. What is BC Place is a third at best.
Yeah.
BMO Field, they'd be happy to get 50% capacity to Argo games. Like, he might be onto something. The point is there, this is, whether you believe it or not, and I haven't talked to CFL people. As I said earlier on in the hour, I'm going to get on the phone this weekend and talk to some more. But are they really realizing yet how unbelievably detrimental it was to not play in 2020? John, you know it. I know it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they knew at the time.
I don't think they knew at the time.
No, I don't think they did know.
I mean, it was really sort of like a sore thumb in all the major football leagues in North America. Well, in football period, this was the only one that didn't play last year. The Big Ten and Pac-12 said they weren't going to play, but changed them. They got so much pressure, they had to. And they had shortened schedules. I think Ohio State had only 6 games. It helped them, actually, because they were healthy enough to beat the heck out of Clemson. But if we go 2 years without football, oh.
So that's what's different, though. So Williams, somebody said what's different. Whoever wrote in and said that. And what's different is I think they realized they stepped in it by not playing in 2020. And they should have bitten the bullet and played. Yeah. And the problem, one of the problems with the CFL is that if it's true, and Justin Dunk reported it, and if you can tell me where he's been wrong in the past, I'd love to know where it was. He said the vote was 6-3 to play. So clearly 6 teams did want to play last year. They got it. The 3 that didn't want to play must have some serious stroke in the CFL, wouldn't you say, John?
Yeah,
because they were outvoted.
Sure would.
They were outvoted, and they still won.
That's right.
And I don't know who those teams were. Man, would I love to know.
Yeah.
But I think they're realizing that there was a major oops. So now the question is, or what it seems to be, is they know they have to play.
Well,
they know they're not going to have full capacity, vis-a-vis pay all their bills. So somebody's got to be riding the rescue to write the check for them to play or cover the losses. And who might that be? Maybe it's MLSE. Maybe it's increased sponsorship like the NHL has done. Neil Lynch and I were talking about that in our GoPro Encaptured discussion on the way up here about the sponsorship of the divisions in the NHL, paying the team's salaries. And that's what you have to do. Maybe the CFL is doing the same thing, which incidentally, you didn't have a problem with the NHL selling the sponsorship of the divisions,
no,
did you?
Not at all. It's good, positive talk out of Edmonton. They're in. They figure they're in. Calgary, too, now make the big announcement. They've signed all their coaches. Winnipeg, well, I like what I hear from them, too, and Saskatchewan are terrific. So the 4 teams in the Western Conference that we're closest to plan on playing. Hamilton, as of now, is planning on playing.
Well, they all say they
Ottawa
are, John.
Is, well, yeah, but Montreal, Toronto, and BC have not made many positive announcements. Like, they haven't made any.
We got a break. We'll just come right back and dive right back into the cesspool. Hang on. Joe Gunness is watching in Moose Jaw. You know Joe, the Jumbo
very
Jet.
Well. Love the guy.
Hello from the Jaw. Keep up the great conversation. Well, we will. Right after this break, you're watching the RP Show, Game Plus TV. Now YouTube Live, Facebook and Twitter. and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
And John Frenzy is with us here today, too, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. We've got breaking news today, and it's very unfortunate news. Tommy Lasorda has passed away at the age of 93. Legendary Los Angeles Dodgers manager, Hall of Fame skipper, led the Dodgers to World Series titles in 1981 and 1988. Tommy Lasorda, and also made famous by those Slim Fast commercials. That's all right. These years later, I still remember that.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So, as you said in my Cat Country commentary today, did you actually think the madness was going to end when the calendar flipped over to 2021? Because it hasn't. More carnage, more celebrity deaths, which was always going to happen no matter what, but the news hasn't got any better.
Sure
hey,
does.
Listen, Flame Tech Football Friday is what we're doing here. We do it every Friday. If you enjoy the football discussion, I ask you to go to the bottom of your screen and click share to all your Facebook friends, please, if you're enjoying what we're talking about here. And I'm actually glad that these comments stayed on the wall through the break, because Jeff, the Stampeders fan, simply types MLSE and CSEG, Calgary Sports and Entertainment Group. Talking about the multi-billion dollar corporations that own sports teams in this country stepping up and underwriting the cost of playing for the CFL in 2021. I'll tell you what, if MLSE rides to the rescue of the CFL, which is what I started to report way back when this whole thing started, that will probably become the biggest scoop of my life. Yeah. That will nudge ahead the Ken Holland next GM of the Edmonton Oilers scoop that they still talk about in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Maybe MLSE is the anonymous, wealthy, private donor that will save the CFL.
Well, we were told a month ago, all the talking heads are there, not talking heads, all the owners, got together in Toronto to put something special together. We weren't supposed to. No, nothing came out of it. Nobody would tell us anything. And I'm sure they talked about something like this. And I'm sure since then, the Riders have made some good announcements. So have all the teams in the Western Conference and Hamilton in the East. So I think that definitely something good has come out, and there's a definite possibility we're going to have that financing from a major.
But it's all that makes sense, and this is where I can't pat myself on the back. It was Lynch that brought it up in the car on the way up here. We were putting our two heads together, and boy, we come up with a lot of brain power, Lynn, when we do. That's right, we do.
Yeah.
And he said, somebody has to be paying for this. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And people have sniffed out that it's MLSE and potentially OSEG and CSEG. You people. William May writes in. He says, if fans can't go watch live, then do pay-per-view. I will pay to watch the Riders play. That is so 2020 of you, William. You can't tell me that the CFL didn't investigate that last year and realize that there's no way that they could make a go of it on a pay-per-view basis. And they don't want to do that. They already have an existing TV contract. I'm sure that has been investigated and snuffed out. Dave Duncan Haney, watching in Medicine Hat from the Grey Cup Fund Police. He says, Rod, Scoop Peterson. I don't really care for the nickname Scoop, but in this case, if the shoe fits. What do you got, Lynch? What are you going to say?
I think this big financial announcement will come out in the middle of February. We're not going to talk about it for another 6 or 8 months like we did last year. It's going to come out in February and settle everybody down and get everybody enthused, because we're going to realize we can do it, and we're going to see our regular schedule, regular dates like we always had. We're supposed to start June the 10th in Saskatchewan. They say we will be.
Nelson Hakowicz says the CFL was acting as if last year, too. It could continue to be a smoke and mirrors
trick. If it is, that's a disaster for the CFL. A disaster.
We are all warmed up now. We're heading to national TV in hour two on Game Plus. Or stick with us here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter Live. Thanks to Tory Gurley. Justin Dunk next hour. It's going to be great. Stick around and join us in hour two on Game Plus. Great job, Jordan, by the way. I love the job you did on that.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.